I'm Eric Thiel with you for one more hour today, and I am pleased to welcome to the JPR studios this afternoon Griffin House, who is in concert tonight opening up the show for Courtyard Hounds at Brit. The show starts at 7:30. Information is at britfest.org. Griffin, welcome to Open Air. Thanks for dropping by.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start talking about what you were doing before music, because it's kind of an interesting twist and shift for you. You started off as an athlete primarily.
Yeah.
And it was golf, right? But golf in terms of a college scholarship that you were offered, but I read somewhere that your love or your dream was baseball.
Yeah, that's true. It was for a long time, and I think there were so many politics going on with a sport like that where, you know, fathers had sons on the team and they would start them and you'd have the highest batting average in the league, but you wouldn't make the all-star team and stuff. And I was like, this sucks, man. I want to play, you know, I can swim or play golf and then the numbers don't lie. It's just like, you're either that good or not. You know?
And then you were offered a college scholarship to play golf.
Right? Yeah.
And said no. You had auditioned, I guess, for a musical in high school?
Yeah, I got really burnt out because I was finding that all my self-worth was based on my performance, and so I didn't feel good about myself unless I performed well, and I was just got tired of that, you know?
So what inspired you to audition for that musical in the first place?
I saw a guy singing in Fiddler on the Roof and some other musicals in my high school, and when I saw them, I was just really captivated and inspired, and it led to me trying out for some theater, which was unheard of in my family. It was like, what are you doing, you know? And so I did that, and they cast me in a singing part in a musical. I played the bad guy in Oklahoma, and I had to learn how to, you know, sink or swim, and gotcha, I had to learn how to sing or be embarrassed. So I tried to sing.
So what kind of music had you been listening to at the time? This was back, I guess, early mid 90s, and you know, maybe that singer-songwriter genre was starting to launch. Sean Colvin was sort of getting hot, but that's probably not necessarily the music that a high schooler from the Midwest was listening to.
No, I was listening, like when I was younger, I was listening to like the Fat Boys and Run DMC and the Beastie Boys, and eventually that became a lot of like classic rock, and then Blood Sugar Sex Magik, the Red Hot Chili Peppers was one of my favorite records, and then I became a huge U2 fan, and I started trying to learn how to sing by listening to like Bono, you know, and so, yeah, I listened to a lot of that stuff.
So at what point do you think that you made that decision that music was going to be it and that you were going to leave sports behind?
I don't think it was ever really a conscious decision. It was just a slow thing. I started playing guitar in college and I started writing songs. I ended up in a band and then the band wasn't going anywhere. So I made my own record and it's just one thing led to another, and it's just kind of kept going since then. So
cool. Can we hear something?
Yeah, sure. This is a song I wrote that almost didn't make it on the record. It's called Native.
It's Griffin House live tonight, opening for Courtyard Hounds at Brit. The show starts at 7:30. You can get information at britfest.org. Griffin House's new album is called The Learner. It's live music on Open Air.
I'm a native to this land. I grew up on the same ground where my fathers took their stand. I'm a native to this land. And I'm a native to your hands. I was made to rest inside them when I've labored all I can. I'm a native to your hands, and I am with you now, finally. I am with you now, finally. I am with you. And I will always be. And I'm a native to your love. There was never such a face as yours I'm dreaming of. I'm a native to your love. And I am with you now, finally. I am with you now, finally.
I am with you now, and I will always be. Together hand in hand into the setting sun. You and I are walking on, and I am with you now. Finally, I am with you now. Finally, I am with you now. And I will always be.
Live music from Griffin House on Open Air. It's about 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. I'm Eric Teal with you this hour. Griffin, I find it kind of interesting that at the point that you decided that music was a passion that you wanted to pursue, you kind of came to the realization, oh, hey, I don't actually know how to play an instrument. Mm-hmm. What was that process like of trying to pick something and going through the process of learning it?
I remember being in my dorm room my freshman year and holding my hand in the position of the G chord for like hours straight and just strumming with my right hand and leaving, because the G was really hard for me to make for some reason. So I did that, and then another time I determined that if I took my guitar and roamed around the campus for all night long and just played guitar, that I would have to be better by the morning. So I did that until as late as I could and made it to my 8 o'clock class. And it was kind of like that. It was just like playing all the time, trying
just
to get
total
better.
Immersion.
Yep.
How long was it from the point that you started that kind of intensive practicing to the release of your first album? How many years went by?
Well, I made a record in the basement of a house I was renting with some friends in Cincinnati, and that came out kind of, I mean, at college. It was just something I printed up myself, and that was 2001. And then I put a record out called Upland in 2003, and then 2004 was the record sitting in front of you, Lost and Found, which first really came out, you know, on a sort of major distribution, and that came out, you know, licensed by Network Records. So
I read an excerpt of an interview that you did where you were talking about living in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, Nashville's considered kind of mecca for budding singer-songwriters. But you said at the time that you felt that being in that musical of a city was more happenstance than a decision to immerse yourself in that scene.
Yeah, it was. I mean, where I was at the time, I kind of thought, if you want to go do music, go to L.A. or New York. But I happened to have a friend living in Nashville, and he was kind of convincing me to come down there. And I thought, well, there is music stuff going on down there, so maybe I'll move down with my friend and get a job and see what happens, make some recordings, and it just kind of all came together there. So,
and I remember reading that really your first Nashville artist that struck you was Ryan Adams or something. Somebody had given you an album?
He was, yeah. I'd heard about him still when I was in college, and then I was, right after college, I had his Heartbreaker record, and I was really inspired by that and moved down there. And oddly enough, I was probably in Nashville for 3 months, and the guy that was managing Ryan Adams started coming to my shows and wanted to manage me. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm just, you know, I'm getting some good breaks. So it was cool.
Well, one of the early songs that took off for you in kind of an unusual way was Waterfall, mm-hmm. which is a song that a lot of people kind of started to know as that awesome toothpaste song. What was that process like? And did you find out about it after the fact, or did you know that something like that was underway?
I kind of knew it was underway. The people from Rembrandt and this advertising company contacted me, and they said, hey, we have some money for you, and we want to use your song, and we picked you out of like 500 artists because we just loved your song. And they flew me up there, and I just hung out, and I got some money from them for that commercial, and I made my next record with it. So it was a huge blessing.
Do you get to a point when an opportunity comes along like that for an artist where on one hand you're thinking, oh, it's a commercial, but on the other hand you're thinking, hey, I've got financing for my next project?
Yeah, I never felt any conflict about it whatsoever, and I felt like the artist in the past, when the music business was different, like Neil Young or whatever, that had the luxury to not do a commercial or something, those days are gone, and now it's just like, you have to, if you want to keep going, you have to have things like that to help you keep making your music, so I never felt conflicted about it at all.
Let's talk a little bit about the new album. It's called The Learner, and there's quite a story behind that title.
Yeah, there is. The Learner was my nickname given to me by my friend Rusty, who actually took the cover shot of the record. Rusty Rothstein is a photographer out of Brooklyn and from Springfield, Ohio. We're from the same hometown. And he used to call me The Learner after a night of like really hard drinking. And The Learner would do stuff that I normally wouldn't do. So it was kind of like a weird alter ego or something that we laughed about.
And either during the process of making this album or shortly before, you kind of cut that lifestyle clean, right?
Yeah, it was after we made the record. It was actually January 1st of 2010. I kind of made that decision. So, yeah, a totally different world now that I live in.
How has your music changed since that time? Either a change in your writing or in your performing?
Well, I mean, I talk a lot about now my eyes are kind of open, and even some of the songs on The Learner were kind of written in the middle of the party, and now a lot of the songs I'm writing are the morning after, wide-eyed, sober, this is reality kind of thing. But I'm writing and working a lot more, and I'm a lot more focused now, so there are tons of benefits I'm already seeing.
Cool. Can we hear something else from the album?
Yeah, sure. This song's called Rule the World. Some people want to rule this land. Some people got great big plans. Some people want to rule the world. Some people got great big dreams. But not me. I don't need those things. I don't want to rule the world with you. I don't need to try to be king. I just want to build a life with you and give you everything. Some people can't stop the itch. Whatever it takes, man, to make them rich. Some people want power and fame. Some people want to play the game. But not me. I don't need those things. I don't want to rule the world with you. I don't need to try to be a king. 'Cause when you are around, I don't need a thing. When you get to the top, babe, you're gonna come back down. It's a law of nature, what goes around comes around. You're gonna know who your friends are when you take the fall. You can sit at the top, babe, you can have it all. But not me, I don't need those things. I don't wanna rule world with you. I don't need to try to be a king. I just want to live my life with you. I just want to give you everything. No, I don't want to rule the world with you. And I don't need to try to be king. 'Cause when you are around, I don't need a thing.
That's live music on Open Air from Griffin House. It's about 16 minutes past 2 o'clock. We'll take a quick break and get back with more conversation and music. Griffin House live on Open Air. It's Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Griffin House is my guest live this hour. He's opening up the show tonight for Courtyard Hounds, Emily and Marty McGuire at Brit, and his new album is called The Learner. Griffin, you do something kind of unusual on your website, and that is that you've got a video, and actually we've got a little bit of the audio of this video queued up here. You've got a YouTube video of a Swedish guy, I believe his name is Nila or something of that effect, who's doing a cover of your tune, Better Than Love. Where did that come? How did you stumble across that and make the decision to put it on your website?
I think my drummer, Evan, sent me a link that said, hey man, check this guy out, this is pretty cool. And I checked it out, and it was cool. It was a guy, I guess, I think he's from Sweden maybe, or somewhere in Scandinavia.
And he's done like a multi-tracked version of your tune, and it's guitar, it's like lap steel, and I think he plays the nickel harpa and sings. We've got a little bit of it. Let's play that.
Honey, when you doubt my love for you, looking in my eyes what I'm going through, change and fall out of, you hold my hand and it's better than love. Save me from myself, you got my back.
A Swedish singer named Nila covering the music of Griffin House, that tune, Better Than Love. What did you think when you first heard that? Was it, I'm assuming, probably interesting to see someone doing your music, but to see it done in such a different way with different instrumentation?
I've seen a lot of people on YouTube cover some songs, but most of the time it's just kind of funny.
Like a guy in his bedroom with a guitar.
Yeah, and it's still flattering, which is still great, but I mean, when I heard this one and when I just heard it now, it really kind of overwhelmed me because... It's really beautiful, you know. It's a really beautiful version of the song, and it's nice to hear the song. I mean, I'm almost like, wow, he's doing it better than I am, you know. But at least that means it's a good song. So.
And you said he was the only person really that you've ever reached out to. Right?
He is the only person I've ever, you know, said, wow, that was really good. You know, I appreciate it. So I hoped that would make him happy.
And did you get a response from
him?
Yeah,
he wrote me back. He said, you know, I hope you're over here sometime, and I'll definitely bring some people out to your show. So
cool.
That's cool.
Well, a little earlier you had talked about how in the last, oh, say 6-7 months or so, your songwriting has become a little bit more focused. And I remember reading about one project that you were involved with, which was a songwriting project. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's a group that Bob Schneider heads up, and there's a lot of people, they fluctuate, a lot of different artists. There's like 30 on the list now, and we all email each other a song once a week based upon a specific prompt. It's usually just a phrase that Bob or somebody else comes up with, and it really just helps us stay focused and write every week, and it's a little competition to see who can write the best song, but also who can just keep doing it every week and hang in there. So I've turned one in every week, and I feel like it's kept me really focused. So
how long has it been going?
It's been going since Bob and I did an Esquire shoot for Esquire magazine back in like March, so it's been since mid-March for me.
Do any of those songs end up going anywhere, or is it just kind of for your own practice?
Well, I've been amazed at how many good songs. I mean, I think some of my best material has actually come out of the last few months, and so I'm ready to make a new record again and hopefully do it really quickly because the songs are fresh in my mind. So,
without that kind of a task in front of you of participating in this group of songwriters generating material, is songwriting an easy process for you?
Sometimes it's really easy, and other times it seems really hard, but I think the challenge to complete one song a week has made me realize it can be a lot easier if I just have a goal or an assignment in mind, you know? So
what kinds of things were involved in that project? I mean, were you given the task of, you know, say, write a song about milk, or was it more substantial?
No, it'll be just a little phrase, like, this week's phrase is not a pretty pear, and make a song out of that.
Gotcha. So do you share them with each other via MP3s or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I record it right onto my iPhone, and then I just send it out to the group, and it's usually, for me, it's like an acoustic demo. Some nice. People have the ability to go into Pro Tools and do the whole thing and make it sound great, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't really do that, so.
Well, you're opening up tonight for Courtyard Hounds. The show starts at 7:30 at Brit out in Jacksonville. Information on the show is at britfest.org. I believe there are still both lawn and reserved seats available for the show. The new album is called The Learner. How did you get hooked up with Courtyard Hounds being an opening act for some select dates? Not the entire tour that they're on, but some of them.
I'm not really sure. I think I should probably give the credit to my management or my agent or something. I'm sure they would probably say that they did it. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just thankful to be here.
Yeah, that kind of stuff just pops up from time to time as artists are looking for support.
Yeah, it seems like I'm usually kind of in the dark about that kind of stuff until it happens. It's like they don't really tell me until they know it's a done deal. And I guess they don't think I'm going to help the process even if I know. So they just kind of...
How many dates are you joining them for?
It's only like five dates, but you know, it's good. It's a good run, week of shows, and yeah.
Yeah. Now, in addition to the song we talked about a little earlier, Waterfall, you are another of artists, we've had a bunch of them here over the last couple of months, that seem to be targets or focus artists for a lot of television, you know, embedding songs at pivotal moments of shows. Is that a process that you're actively involved in at all, or do you just sort of find out that, hey, another show's interested in another song?
I have a lot of friends who are involved, you know, pretty actively with film and TV people, and they're really on the ball with that stuff. My management company, Network, has a great film and TV department, and it is usually like, hey, we got a TV placement for you. You're going to be on, you know, this show next week, and I'm like, that's great, you know? So it's usually like that.
Right. And then do you get immediate response from that placement, you know, in terms of people that are either connecting with you online or sending emails or iTunes downloads?
Yeah, usually. I mean, it's pretty, I don't keep up with the numbers a whole lot because I just try to stick to the music and let the management cut people worry about that kind of stuff. It's just gives me more peace of mind. And it's not that I don't like to know what's going on. It's just too hard to stay on it all the time. So
gotcha. Well, can we hear another tune?
Sure. This is called River City Lights, and I should mention that Alison Krauss sang on it. It was a really nice treat to have her on the record.
That's right, and you had mentioned that it was kind of an unfortunate situation because right as she had shown up at the recording studio to cut her part, you had to go somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
I did. So I put her in the vocal booth and taped the lyrics to the wall, and away she went, and I left.
Turned out okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that was like, you know, you know when you arrive stylishly late, I guess, or you exit stylishly early. I was hoping she thought that.
She probably would have been feeling too much pressure had she still been there.
Exactly.
Right?
All right, I'll play the song. I met her down Tennessee. She went by the name of Amelie. She was a character anyone could see. She had eyes just for me. Time will fly and the summer would end, and I will never see her again. And I hear thunder in my head when I wonder where she is, and the river runs through her town. And all of the stars are throughout tonight. She's up on the rooftop looking down, just staring at the river lit up with the city lights. And I roll on, years gone by, the sun goes down,
on another sky. And there is nowhere I'd rather be. And there is no one I'd rather see. Where the river runs through a town, and all of the stars are throughout tonight. She's up on the rooftop looking down, just staring at the river lit up at the city lights. Should have been so torn up inside from losing what is hard to find. But that's just the way it goes sometimes. The way it goes sometimes.
It's Griffin House, live on Open Air, here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming online at ijpr.org. Griffin's opening up the show tonight at 7:30 for Courtyard Hounds at Brit Festivals in Jacksonville. Information at britfest.org. His new album is called The Learner. Great songs. Really appreciate having you here.
Thanks a lot.
I have one other interesting quote that I wanted to ask you about that you might recall making, or it might be one of these things that was fabricated somewhere in a magazine. The quote is, apparently you saying, there is all the usual sincerity and honesty I try to maintain in my songs on The Learner, except for She Likes Girls, which is a song I felt was really important for me to do.
Yeah.
Explain that quote.
I think people expect you to always be singing in a voice of from a sincere place instead of a place from maybe irony or tongue-in-cheek, and they might assume that just because I'm speaking in the first person that I'm talking about myself, which isn't necessarily true. And I think I wanted my audience to understand that I appreciate all kinds of music and that I don't want to be in a little folky box of just making, you know, heart-wrenching ballads. I wanted to write a rock and roll song with a sense of humor, and so I did.
And what's the reaction been to something like that appearing in an album that would otherwise be your heart-wrenching folk singer-songwriter stuff?
It's been polarizing. I mean, I think some people really, really get it and love it, and others don't get it. And I think there's a lot of radio stations that I think would play the song if I was in the Killers or I was in a band or something like that, but they won't play it because I'm Griffin House, and they think he's not allowed to do that. And I just think that's total crap. But anyway.
When you write songs or think about putting albums together in a track list, mm-hmm. do you ever think about a radio single, or do you not think in those terms?
I was thinking about it with that song because I thought maybe it would get played, and then
in areas that maybe you hadn't been played
exactly
before, right?
I thought it would be a new way to find new people and introduce other people that normally wouldn't listen to my music, you know. I thought it would be a cool thing, and maybe it will, you know. Maybe it still will be.
Now, are you playing solo tonight?
Yeah, I'll be playing solo.
Are there some of your songs that you have a hard time translating as a solo performer as opposed to something that was done in a studio with backup musicians?
Definitely. Yeah, a lot of them. I just wrote a new song called Head for the Hills, kind of about the flood in Nashville and the oil spill. And that song's much, much more powerful with the band, I think. But I don't know, maybe the words will get across with the acoustic too.
So is that a song you often don't perform when you're solo?
Well, I just wrote it like 2 weeks ago, so I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing. I've only performed it a few times, so.
And no pressure tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
In front of a bunch of people. It's Griffin House, my guest on Open Air, live here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. The show tonight at 7:30 out in Jacksonville at Brit, opening up for Courtyard Hounds, Emily and Marty McGuire from Dixie Chicks. Do we have time to maybe hear one more tune? If I put you on the spot?
Yeah, we do.
Might require a bit of a retuning.
Yeah, maybe a retuning. And
Well, I will mention we're going to have some pictures of Griffin up on our Facebook page here. And for those of you who have not yet made the connection, if you've got a Facebook account, you can easily become a fan of JPR by just making a quick click. I think we've got, I don't know, 1,200, 1,300 fans right now. So some exclusive online ticket giveaways we do. You can always find out information on upcoming specials and, of course, upcoming studio performance. There is a chance, and I hope I'm not spilling the beans, there is a chance that on Monday or Tuesday we might actually have the great violinist Daryl Anger joining us here on Open Air. So looking forward to that. Might happen. I will let you know.
How's that?
Did I feel nicely?
That's great. That's amazing. So are we ready to
go? Yeah, you bet.
This is a murder ballad that I have just recently written, and it's not on the record, but it's called The Woman with the Beautiful Hair. Mr. Izzy, he was busy with the dizzy Miss Lizzie. They were grinning while spinning around. In a chair over there with her beautiful hair was a woman singing, bringing me down. And I was hoping you were joking when you said that you love her, cause I know that I do. And Vinny had the skinny on the woman named Jenny. She's a lush with a crush on you, and I wanna go down, down to the river with you and watch you drown. If it's the last thing I do, I wanna go down. Pain and rage running through my veins when I saw you standing there at the bottom of the hill. What a thrill to kill you for the woman with the beautiful hair. I had a gun in my car at the topless bar. I was far away from the Lord. In the midnight rain on a cocaine train, there was mud and blood on the door. I was on the bend, I was no pretend, I was killing everything in sight. Stone freewheeling, robbing and stealing with a heart as black as the night. And I wanna go down, down to the river with you and watch you drown. If it's the last thing I do, I wanna go down. Pain and rage running through my veins when I saw you standing there at the bottom of the hill. What a thrill to kill you for the woman with the beautiful hair. At the gates of hell, I would fare thee well as my soul rolls down the drain. But if heaven's door I should kneel before, you can bet I'm gonna plead insane. I got something to prove and I got nothing to lose. You better listen every word I said. I love her, if you touch her I will make you suffer till your eyes roll back in your head. And I'll take you down, down to the river we go, I'll watch you drown. Yeah, I'm gonna end you slow, take you down. Pain and rage running through my veins when I saw you standing there at the bottom of the hill. What a thrill to kill you for the woman with the beautiful hair.
It's Griffin House, live on Open Air, here on the Rhythm and News Service of JPR, opening up tonight at 7:30 at Brit for Courtyard Hounds. Griffin, thanks so much for being here. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.